This is Free Thought Radio with co-hosts Dan Barker and Annie Laurie Gaylor. Irreverent views, news, music, and interviews.
Imagine there's no heaven. It's easy if you try.
Atheists are starting to speak up.
And I'm one of those. I'm Annie Laurie Gaylor, and hello to the rest of you out of the closet godless infidels. More about that in a minute. Dan is in New Jersey, speaking at a number of events, including his first visit to Princeton. So I'm flying solo again, and God is not my co-pilot, but I will have a lot of interesting company on today's show. This is the December 7th, 2013 broadcast of Free Thought Radio, broadcasting from the Madison, Wisconsin. You can listen via iHeartRadio. You might also be catching this show in New York, Michigan, California, Missouri, or, of course, our podcast. Free Thought Radio is the weekly production of FFRF, and that is the Freedom From Religion Foundation. And we are based in Madison, Wisconsin, a national association of freethinkers, atheists, and agnostics. And we work for separation of church and state and are especially busy in the month of December. This week, on December 11th, we'll celebrate the birthday of French composer Hector Berlioz, born in 1803, a thorough non-believer. "I believe in nothing," he said, speaking of religion. And you can listen for some of Berlioz's music during today's show, and also the Gershwins. Yesterday was the birthday of lyricist Ira Gershwin, born December 6th, 1896, and both George and Ira Gershwin were firm non-believers. So we have enough to talk about on the show to fill three shows. I'm going to get right to it. During the second half of today's show, we're going to talk about the Freedom From Religion Foundation's newest major federal court victory. We won our challenge of the housing allowance. This is an IRS law passed in 1954 to benefit clergy for fighting godlessness, in which they can be paid through a housing allowance, which is deducted from their gross income. So they get a lot of tax-free money that they can apply for housing purposes, including improvements such as swimming pools. It's a huge benefit to clergy and costs the rest of us a lot of money. And we are going to talk with Richard Bolton, who took the case for FFRF, the attorney, and then also with a former IRS agent, Robert Beatty, on the second half of today's show. And in a few minutes, I'm going to be joined by Judy Saint of Sacramento, who's going to talk about a major billboard campaign we have there with our Sacramento chapter. And we have 54 billboards up, so we'll tell you all about that in a minute. Before we get to that, here's some news. You may have caught that Brian William Pallister, a Canadian politician and leader of the Assembly of the Manitoba Legislative Assembly, got into some hot water for this remark.
I wanted to wish everyone a really, really Merry Christmas and Happy Hanukkah. Well, to all you infidel atheists out there, I want to wish you the very best also. I don't know what you celebrate during the holiday season. I myself celebrate the birth of Christ, but it's your choice. If you wish to celebrate nothing, all the best.
The celebrate nothing. And of course, I often use the term infidel and atheist fondly, in jest, but he meant it. And then there's that perennial panner of free thought, the man who made up the imaginary war on Christmas, and he's flattering FFRF with this comment this week. This is Bill O'Reilly.
On the national front, the most aggressive is the Freedom From Religion Foundation. They are the oppressors.
So they were talking about the primary culprits seeking to diminish Christmas. There's a whole, like, half an hour going after us on Fox. And you can read my blog combating that online at ffrf.org/news. I do have to say, again, that really we are flattered to be singled out in that manner. We've been tremendously busy this year, as always, fighting state church entanglements. And making sure that where government bodies allow manger scenes in so-called public forums, that our point of view, the point of view of non-believers, is there too. Here's coverage of a very cool display that we and our Chicago chapter, led by Tom Kara, just put up last week in Daly Plaza that's creating quite a stir.
It's a conspicuous addition to the Daly Plaza holiday collection. Christmas tree, manger, menorah, and an enormous A. Most don't have a clue what it is.
Do you know what this is?
I do not know.
When they find out, they react.
Wow, that's interesting.
The sign next to the red A explains A is for atheist.
We're there for equal time.
Dan Barker is co-president of the Freedom From Religion Foundation, which created the exhibit. Coincidentally, tonight he was part of an Is There a God debate on the North Side with Brian O'Neill, a Moody Bible Institute theology professor.
Does it have a place here?
Sure. I have my own beliefs, but I think they have a right to believe.
And display?
Absolutely.
They can believe what they want. I know what I believe in. Jesus Christ.
At least one was apparently unsure what to make of it, opting instead to pose and shrug.
So if you're in Chicago, go see it. It's not only it's an 8-foot banner and it's an 8-foot tall A is for atheism light display based on Richard Dawkins' Out campaign. And then there's a sign next to it. And the banner is very charming. It's the Bill of Rights Nativity, celebrating the birth of the Bill of Rights on December 15th. That's the 222nd anniversary, saying this is what really unites us. And so stay tuned. We're going to talk with an activist from Sacramento running our new chapter there about the 55 individual and unique billboards that FFRF just placed with our members there. Their faces, their names, their points of view this time of year about religion.
Ask for a sample issue of Free Thought today and find out more about the Freedom From Religion Foundation at ffrf.org or phone 1-800-335-4021. This is Free Thought Radio.
I'm Annie Laurie Gaylor, co-director of the Freedom From Religion Foundation, and my co is absent this week. Dan's on the road in New Jersey and will be back next week. And I'm very excited to announce the biggest out-of-the-closet billboard campaign ever engineered by the Freedom From Religion Foundation in conjunction with our new chapter in Sacramento. And we're going to announce in a minute, welcome to the show, Judy Saint. Her last name is religious, but we consider her a secular saint because she's produced a secular miracle, along with us, of arranging 55 out-of-the-closet billboards in Sacramento going up this week. More than 55 of our members, their faces, their names, their views on religion, each unique, and it's getting a lot of press. And so let's listen to this broadcast from Fox 40 News, November 26, before we bring Judy on.
Well, it's the time of year for all sorts of holiday cheer. Many say we need to remember the reason for the season, but new billboards about to go up all across the region beg to differ. The billboard campaign is called Out of the Closet, the purpose to dispel myths about atheists.
There are 55 billboards in total that will be popping up all across the Sacramento Valley next week. Here's a look at one of them. I believe in people, not gods. Another one says, I believe in one less God than you. And obviously, this is extremely controversial.
It's the most wonderful time of the year.
But could the most wonderful time of the year be oh so wonderful without God and with these billboards instead?
Billboards are going up just to let the fellow non-believers know that they're not alone.
Within a week, 55 billboards funded by the Freedom From Religion Foundation will pop up throughout the Sacramento Valley, saying things like, integrity and passion require no gods. I'm not a believer, and life is still awesome. Another says, we're good without God. Judy Saint and her wife admit just that, and that's why they're pushing to have these billboards made.
For some reason, the word atheist will get what I call a spit response. It's like, oh.
But that's not the response Bishop Jaime Soto at the Cathedral of the Blessed Sacrament government expects the public to have. Yes, these billboards are propaganda, he says, but their impact will be minimal.
Well, I'm not happy about this kind of propaganda going out. I'm fairly certain that people still, when they look deep down in their soul and in their heart, there is this spark of faith.
And that spark is felt all the time at Saint's house. She, just like many Christians, is putting up holiday decorations.
We just want them to know that we're good, happy, moral people that love the holidays the same as they do. And it's okay to be an atheist.
And according to the First Amendment, it's okay for atheists to have billboards. In fact, it would be unconstitutional if they couldn't.
Now, whether you like it or not, these billboards will be up throughout the Sacramento Valley starting next Monday.
So we've got Judy on the phone with us from Sacramento.
Hi,
Judy
Annie
Saint.
Lori.
Hello. Well, welcome to Free Thought Radio.
Thank you. I think it's hilarious he called it propaganda. I mean, not calling the kettle black. So we have a box of Freedom from Religion Foundation brochures and things. Now we've labeled that our box of propaganda.
Now, Judy, you and your new wife, Kathy Johnson, are on one of these 55 billboards. There are really more than 55 participants because some of them have families and couples. And you're one of several couples, and you just got married. Congratulations.
Thank you.
And what does your billboard say?
It says, equality, reason, doing good, all without gods. We put equality in there because to our LGBT community, they'll recognize that. And thank you, Annie Laurie, for letting us go up as a couple, which I understand is the first time we've had a lesbian couple.
At least the first time we've had a married lesbian couple.
Oh, married, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
We trended number 4 on Yahoo National News. We trended number 4 on the national news. Well, you're probably used to this, but I'm not.
Well, this is a huge campaign. You and I were both shocked at the enthusiasm, and we had so many people wanting to come out of the closet on billboards that we had to really scramble and use 2 different outdoor companies and spend more money than we thought we would. But
I totally want to give a shout out to all the donors because you can donate directly to the billboard cause, and some people have contacted me wanting to do that. So thank you, people. Thank you so much.
And then we can take this other places. And so we do really appreciate those tax-exempt donations to the Billboard Fund. But now, why don't we talk about what the purpose of this, of course, is to create social acceptance and also to promote our point of view, because we think free thinkers, our voices are not heard in society, and we have a lot to contribute. Reason is very important to contribute to all the debates. But also, we wanted this to be a positive and affirmative campaign, and I thought maybe you could read some of the billboards.
Oh, sure. Again, these people came up with all their own quotes. We didn't direct them in any way, as you know. I believe in humanity, not God. Live for now, not for after. Morality does not require supernatural supervision. No more every day. Lessen the suffering of others. That's a nice do-good one. I don't believe in Odin either.
And that's a cute one.
Fully functioning moral compass without religion, and of course, good without God, believe in yourself. There are 55 of these. It's awesome.
No gods, no devils, no worries. I thought that was cute. Embrace skepticism. We can all be good without God. There are several like that. Believe in yourself. Without God, I am full of love. Free to think for myself. Studying the Bible made me an atheist. And God-free, happy, and inspired by wonder. I mean, we could go on and on. There are 55 of these. You can find these up at FFRF's website, FFRF.org, if you go to news and scroll and look for this. And you can see all these billboards online as well. And it's creating a huge stir there in Sacramento. You have been doing a lot of media.
Oh, enormous, enormous. Now, we were on our 4 major TV news stations, and each time, of course, they had to go out and interview some religious leader. They were all men, of course. I thought it was funny that religious leaders had to answer up to a woman making sense. I love that. And basically, the 4 of them each had a different point to make. One thought we were attacking them. Another thought that we were claiming to know that there's no God. Another one was saying that church is where good is done. And the last one said, if we just considered everything. So I put a letter to the editor in our large local paper here, and I just explained in a positive way, like you said, that now the purpose is that it's okay to be atheists. We're talking to our fellow atheists, and that we're not claiming to know something, and that we do good too, and I elaborated on that. and that we have considered everything deeply and honestly, and that's why we're atheists. Then I invited them all to our meet and greet where the billboard participants will each talk. So we'll see if they attend.
Now, one person I think you didn't invite was an imam who was quoted in one of the news stories.
Oh, I didn't invite them by name. I just gave a general invitation to what I called these well-meaning religious leaders. So
but there was,
know who he is.
There was one rather chilling response by an imam who said that this was an attack on him and on his faith. You know, he's personalizing
it. I'm not sure, but I'm worried that might be code words for, you know,
well, hopefully not.
Let's not go there. If he wants to attend, we'd of course love to have him.
Now,
I've had some really funny responses. Can I share some?
Yeah.
Yeah, I've had some things come in through email, and they're basically from believers. Not too much yet, though. One person is saying that it's good works that count, and they're trying to find common ground, which I appreciate. And they say it all just comes down to doing good works. And I'm thinking, yes, then why do you need religion? But I didn't respond. I responded politely. Another one says, Christians are so persecuted, we're always being dismissed or ignored. And again, I go, yes, but I didn't say that back to them. And then here's something I want your vote, Annie Laurie, and all your listeners get a vote too. So everybody gets a vote. And I put this on our Facebook page locally here. There are two items here. You have to vote for which one you think is funnier. Here's item one. There was a religious leader on TV, on the TV news, who said the billboards just don't make sense to him, as if making sense had anything to do with religion. So I was saying, good, 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 keep it up. Keep thinking about what makes sense. So I thought that was funny. And here's item two. In a letter to the editor of our large paper here, they're saying that atheists aren't the only free thinkers because she's free to think the way her church does. So you get a vote. Which one is funnier? The religious leader talking about what should make sense, or the lady who's free to think the way her church does?
Well, she needs to see Linda Sue's billboard that says "Live bravely and think freely," or these billboards saying "Free your mind, David Manhart." Now, for people who can't visualize this, these are very colorful, large billboards with the face of one of our members and their name and even where they live, you know, the name of whether it's Sacramento or
their,
a suburb.
Their full name.
And their full name, which we requested, and their occupation, and some of them describe themselves as grandparents and some, you know, what they do for a living, and then their own views. And they also choose their own description. Most of them chose atheist, but we have a Pastafarian.
Almost all said atheist.
And there's agnostics, there's secular humanists, and so nobody's putting any words in their mouths. And it's really to acquaint Sacramento with the diversity and value of all of these freethinkers in their midst.
Mm-hmm. Now, it's a very diverse mix of people, too.
Yeah, it's all colors, diverse. All ages, men, women.
I would say maybe half of them are women.
Yes, we were trying very hard to make sure women were equally represented.
This just came out. We didn't turn anybody down. There were a few who couldn't make it to the photo shoot, but it's just who turned up.
And speaking of the photos, we want to do a shout out to Matthew Martin, who is the volunteer photographer. And all he asked was for himself and his wife, Kimberly, to be on a billboard, and their billboard says integrity and compassion require no gods. But Judy, you know how quickly you had to work on this, and Matt had to get all of these portraits taken within about 2 weeks.
Yeah, these portraits are beautiful, just great portrait photography that just makes the billboards pop.
So we
did a great job.
We only have 2 minutes left. I did want to say, I've been taking calls, and you probably have too. Why did you put these billboards up in December? Like it's this big plot. And you know, of course, that it just sort of ended up being December instead of November. But what is your response to media?
Well, I basically let them know that this is the time when people need to be reassured there are other like-minded people. It's the most important month, of course, because even in shopping in the store, you hear the Jesus stories right and left. So it's the time when an atheist could most use the comfort of knowing there are other atheists.
Okay.
So we're basically talking to our fellow atheists.
Very good response, and also, but also trying to show non-believer or believers that there are many non-believers in their midst. And you can go and look at these again. You can go to fffrf.org/news. Your URL there on our website is sac. What is it, Judy?
sac.ffrf.org.
Yeah, and you can find all kinds of information. You can see the gallery of photos. It will make you proud to know all your fellow and sister freethinkers. Well, thank you so much, Judy Saint. You are a saint for making this happen.
Oh, thank you, Annie Laurie. You've been a guide to this whole thing and all the donors who made this possible. It's awesome.
And we'll
here in Sacramento are bursting with pride and tears. We honestly are.
Well, we'll be back. Freethought Radio will be back to talk to attorney Rich Bolton and Robert Beatty, an IRS agent, about FFRA's fantastic federal court victory against the parish exemption. So stay tuned. I'm Annie Laurie Gaylor, and we'll be right back.
The things that you're liable to read in the Bible, it ain't necessarily so. This is Free Thought Radio.
And I'm Annie Laurie Gaylor, and I'm flying solo today without my co-host Stan Barker. He'll be back next week. And as promised, we're going to talk about a major court victory that the Freedom From Religion Foundation won in federal court here in the Western District of Wisconsin on November 22nd. We haven't had a chance to talk about this yet on Free Thought Radio, and it is a significant ruling with far-reaching ramifications, declaring unconstitutional the 1954 parish exemption uniquely benefiting ministers of the gospel. And this affects 83% of ministers, so far as we can tell, around the country and their churches, which have been paying ministers a housing allowance, which is deducted from their gross income, to reward them for fighting godlessness. And I have on the phone two experts, Richard L. Bolton, who is the litigation attorney who won this major victory for FFRF, and Robert Beatty, who is a retired IRS agent and who has been very helpful in explaining the problems to us. But before we bring them on the show, I thought let's introduce, this is a rather complicated topic. We have a very good summary by investigative TV reporter Stuart Watkins, WCNC, out of Charlotte. He was a recent guest, kind of summarizing the whole issue.
New tonight at 11, the I-Team's Stuart Watson shows us how some pastors are using their privilege.
When we first reported how Elevation pastor Stephen Furtick was building a 16,000-square-foot home, we got a lot of complaints from his supporters. Ashley Todd pretty much summed it up, writing, "So what if he builds a huge house? How is that any concern of yours or anyone else's?" Well, the answer is, if you're a taxpayer, it is your concern, because pastors don't pay income taxes on the salary they get for housing. It's called a parsonage allowance, and when preachers are exempt from paying a big chunk of income taxes, guess who does pay?
This ain't right! This ain't right!
Pastor Stephen Furtick will not reveal how much Elevation Church pays him as a tax-free parsonage allowance.
It's not that great of a house.
But his mentor, Pastor Ed Young Jr. in Dallas, gets about $250,000 a year, tax-free, just for housing. Elevation Church pays 24 ordained pastors parsonage allowances, yet no one will say how much.
It's a big house. It's a beautiful house.
Dan Barker is a co-president of the Freedom From Religion Foundation, a national group of atheists and agnostics.
I was an ordained minister. After 19 years of believing, really believing and preaching the gospel, I changed my mind.
When Dan was a preacher, he got a tax break for housing.
You don't even have to report it. It was nice. I mean, who wouldn't want that advantage, you know? I mean, if you're paying your taxes, you want every break you can get.
But as atheists, Barker and his wife and co-president, Annie Laurie Gaylor, sued the IRS over the parsonage exemption.
They need to pay their fair share.
The atheists sued in federal court in Madison, Wisconsin, where their headquarters is.
And we are seeking an end to the parsonage exemption, which we think is unconstitutional.
They claim the parsonage allowance violates the so-called Establishment Clause in the First Amendment to the Constitution because Congress gave a tax break to clergy, but not to all nonprofits.
And sometimes we're seeing stupendous housing allowances, overpaid ministers.
The bigger the house, the bigger the tax break. because the parsonage allowance is limited only by the fair market rental value of the pastor's home.
So if you choose to live in the Sistine Chapel or a mansion, you can't claim more than the fair rental value, but that could be astronomical.
Building this house, and I'm real excited about it and everything.
If they want to pay the pastor $50 million a year, we're not complaining about that. That's freedom. But if they are excluding housing from taxation, tax liability, then that's hurting all of us.
And thanks to the secrecy Congress affords churches, taxpayers have no idea how much the parsonage allowance is even worth.
It's shielded from public scrutiny, and yet the public are subsidizing churches.
You see, most nonprofits have to make their tax forms public.
You can go online right now and you can see my salary. You can see our organization's income and expenses down to the penny. We have to be accountable.
But think about it. When it comes to being accountable, the atheists are now more forthcoming than some Christians.
We hear that churches, everything they do is good, and they're being given this tax exemption to do good, and yet why keep it secret? What do they have to hide?
Only last week, a federal judge in Wisconsin handed the atheists a first-round victory. The judge ruled the tax break for the parsonage allowance is unconstitutional and should be thrown out. The decision will almost certainly be appealed. Stuart Watson, NBC Charlotte.
So, welcome to the show, Richard L. Bolton. Are you there?
Yes, I am.
From Madison, Wisconsin, a Boardman Law Firm. And then we have on the phone, I think from, is it California or Colorado?
Colorado.
Colorado, Robert Beatty, a retired IRS agent. And Rich, as the attorney who took this lawsuit, do you want to say something about its import?
Well, the introduction and the description that you've had already is was pretty comprehensive. You know, as we've said before, you know, I know from the, sort of the internet chatter that there's been a lot of reaction to the decision, but I think from a legal perspective, it doesn't strike me as all that controversial, because all it really does is says that you know, that it's not appropriate to provide this tax preference on the basis of religious criteria.
And you pointed out, excuse me, that this isn't showing any hostility to religion. But many pastors have seen it that way. What would you say to them?
Well, my reaction to that is, you know, at one level, anytime somebody loses something, they're obviously going to, you know, react with dissatisfaction. But I think it's less a reaction to the legal reasoning of the decision, and more reaction to that this is sort of a need-based preference. And I think that really gets at the crux of the matter, that religious individuals and ministers that could benefit from this, but that on a need-based, if that were the criteria, many or all taxpayers would appreciate, and many could use and need that. So a need-based reaction, you know, I understand it at a personal level, but it's not really, in my opinion, a legal-based objection to the judge's decision.
And then before we bring on Robert Beatty, Rich, do you want to say something about the judge? We haven't talked about the decision. Talk about who the judge was.
The judge was a very experienced district court judge here in Wisconsin, Judge Barbara Crabb. You know, she's been a very, and of course, you know, whenever you get a favorable decision, you always perceive it this way. But I think the general understanding is that she's a very well-respected district court judge.
And she put, I think, for people to understand, this was, we're getting a lot of rumors that somehow this ruling only applied to ministers in Wisconsin. But that's not true, is it?
Well, you know, there's always, you see this a lot, an issue where a judge in one district or a court of appeals in one circuit makes a ruling that affects, and this comes up most often with the federal government, you know, does it apply just in the Seventh Circuit or in Madison or in Wisconsin? I think as a practical matter, you know, the IRS is not going to, I think it's, regardless, it's impractical to think that the IRS is going to apply a different rule, whether or not to tax housing allowances or not, on different geographical locations. So as a practical matter, you know, I think that the decision, will be implemented by the IRS on a national basis. Now, the judge has stayed her decision. The injunction against the enforcement of the housing allowance pending any appeal, obviously anticipating that the IRS will appeal. And so there will likely be a decision by the Seventh Circuit. And my best judgment is that the IRS will abide by whatever that decision is and apply it on a national basis.
So now we want to bring onto the program the very patient Robert Beatty. Come on back to the show, Robert.
And good morning. Glad to be here.
And you have a very interesting history. Do you want to talk about how you became aware and concerned about the so-called parish exemption?
Okay. It goes back quite a few years, back in the early 80s. I happened to be in between my job as an office auditor for the IRS and my later career as an appeals officer. I was working in the review staff, and a revenue agent one day asked me a question about a case she was working on, and it happened to be a case involving a basketball coach at a private school. And I don't remember exactly what she was asking me or what else I might have told her, but I noticed that he was claiming an exemption or an exclusion for a housing allowance for being the basketball coach at this private school. And I suggested to her that that was not allowable because the private school was not an agency of a church. And the rest, they say, is history. I never had any decision-making authority in the case, but she decided to raise that issue, and her manager approved it. And the adjustment was appealed, and it went to the appeals office, and the appeals officer sustained the adjustment, and the appeals office management sustained the appeals officer's decision and issued a notice of deficiency, which the basketball coach petitioned to the United States Tax Court. Of course, by that time, the heavy hitters were called in, and he was represented by the school, and he was just what became the test case for other employees at the private school who were registered as ministers and claiming the exemption. And it was scheduled for trial two or three times, and the IRS attorneys were ready to go to trial. The district council management was supportive of their attorneys, and so they were ready to go to trial. It got put off two or three times, and I suppose there were some things going on behind the scenes that I was not privy to, but I had been watching the case as it progressed. And ultimately, the national office pulled the rug out from under everybody and said, you're not going to take this case to trial.
So what this means is that if you are a basketball coach at a parochial school or religious school, and you can be ordained, and then you get to be get the housing allowance as well.
Correct. And that's just one example of how the IRS has broadened the range. It's not just about the local preacher on the corner in the Baptist church. It applies so broadly that even the basketball coach at a place like Pepperdine University can register as a minister and claim it. And I found out that the reason for that, in part, is because George Bush and Omar Burleson, some Texas politicians, were called in to help out a private school that run into problems with the IRS over that. And the IRS decided to recognize that school as an agency of the church, contrary to the facts, contrary to the law, and contrary to what people in the church preached, and contrary to what those private schools tell their constituents.
So we have to take a break. That was Robert Beatty, a retired IRS agent. We're also talking with Richard L. Bolton, a litigation attorney, who just took and won for us at the district level a really major victory declaring the Paris exemption exclusion unconstitutional, making ministers pay their fair share of income taxes. So I'm Annie Laurie Geller. We'll be right back to finish the conversation.
As Mark Twain said, faith is believing what you know ain't so. This is Free Thought Radio.
I'm Annie Laurie Gaylor. We are talking with litigation attorney Richard L. Bolton by phone here in Madison, Wisconsin, and Robert Beatty, retired IRS agent by phone from Colorado, about FFRF's major federal court victory a couple weeks ago where Judge Barbara Crabb overturn the parsonage exemption. And it's just a reminder that that's a special benefit to clergy. The purpose of that was enacted in 1954 by Representative Peter Mack to reward fighting an anti-religious world movement and godlessness. We don't think that's a secular purpose. It saves clergy an estimated $2.3 billion in taxes in the years 2002-2007 alone. They're permitted to use a housing allowance deducted from their gross income. They don't pay taxes on it for rent, mortgage, home improvement, swimming pools, maintenance, repairs, you name it. So the judge said that's not constitutional. And so, Rich and Robert, I know you've both been following the response by the clergy. Do you want to chime in, either of you, on how wounded they are?
I think they're excited, and there's a lot of misinformation and disinformation being disseminated. It's too much for any one person to keep up with, but almost every article I read has something problematic with it.
And Rich, you've been following. I was particularly taken with the fact that I think the most vociferous response came from the defenders of rabbis. Did you catch that? Where they were saying that they were going to lose their homes because the synagogues were in such expensive neighborhoods that the rabbis wouldn't be able to afford to keep living where they were. We had the Southern Baptists in great outrage. What struck you?
Well, as I said earlier, I haven't sized up, you know, where the reaction is coming from or from who it's coming from. But, you know, it seems like it's more based on we got to have this than on the fact that it really is a religious-based preference.
Yeah, they're not talking about the legal issue. They're just whining that, hey, don't take this privilege away from us.
The one thing that I would note is that, you know, and this is just on a real anecdotal basis, but I've talked with some members of religious groups during the pendency of this lawsuit, and you know, there are religious ministers and individuals that qualify for the exclusion, you know, that really do fully recognize that it is, you know, a bit of a, I mean, that it's...
Boondoggle.
Well, and recognize that there is an unfairness about it. So, those people obviously aren't particularly public about that, but... I think it's the reaction is a purely pocketbook issue, but that pocketbook issue in terms of, you know, it's really nice to be able to exclude your housing costs is not a pocketbook issue that is limited to ministers.
That's right. I mean, when there's so much need, food stamps being cut off, we want our tax base to be able to help people. And clergy always say they want to do good, so they should want to make sure that the tax they're paying their fair share of taxes.
And you know what? And I understand. You know, pocketbook issues are always personal. So a lot of times, you know, principles are, you know, we're all kind of principled, except if it my pocket.
Affects our own taxes. Now, Robert Beatty, 1 minute, do you want to say, summarize something about this? You must be very pleased because we've been working with you a long time on this.
Yes, I am. A sigh of relief getting it this far. I have been telling people that Congress and the President have had 60 years to try and fix what's wrong with the law. Boil it down, it's very simple. The law allows a benefit only to ministers. And IRS has taken it too far as to what they call ministers. And the First Amendment seems to prohibit just that. The religious community is trying to obfuscate the issue, confuse the issue, tie it in with 100 different other issues. It's a very simple principle. Congress and the President and the people wouldn't act. Rick Warren made sure they weren't going to act.
And, well, FFRF has acted, and we are out of time. Thank you so much, Robert Beatty and Richard Bolton. And we'll keep you posted on what happens. I want to thank our engineer, Dave McCann. Look us up at fffrf.org/radio. Ask for more information at 1-800-335-4021 or join us at fffrf.org. You can contribute to our legal fund and help us with this lawsuit battle. And tune in next week for more Rational Radio and Blasphemous Broadcasting.
Radio is a production of the Freedom From Religion Foundation, FFRF.org. Irreverent views, news, music, and interviews brought to you by Annie Laurie Gaylor and Dan Barker. I hope someday.